This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 24th, 2023, the fourth Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
To God, the only wise, to Jesus Christ, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When we come together to worship, to give God praise and worship, indeed, this is true. But there are particular points in the ritual in which we give God specific praise for specific things. These are called doxologies. We hear that word in passing around, but do we really think about what a doxology is or what it's about? The second reading today is a doxology. That's a short ritual formula. It's generally at the end of hymns or a rite, again, which something very, very special is happening. It expresses our gratitude toward God. It expresses our understanding that it is by His grace that we have received the benefits. When we look at today, kind of interesting day liturgically. Interesting that at 1 o'clock this afternoon, I'm going to celebrate another Mass for the Sunday before Advent. And then less than 12 hours later, I'm going to celebrate a Mass for Christmas. We basically did away with the whole fourth week of Advent this week. As we end our Advent disciplines, and I pray God that they were disciplines, that we, because of the penitential nature of the season, and we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, because for someone to come means they weren't there already. This is the whole, has been the whole message. This is why we don't hear the Gloria proclaimed, because there is nothing to give thanksgiving for yet. You read the Gospel today. This is why we give thanksgiving. We give thanksgiving before God has clothed Himself in flesh and came and dwelt among us. You are the people who believe this. Many people do not, to the tune of like billions. They don't know our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They know a name. They might know some history about it. They may even have some superficial religion when it comes to that, for instance, showing up in Christmas tonight and never darkening the door of a church again. Count yourself so blessed that your eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit to know our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We should give doxology for this. These doxologies, they've always been around. In the Old Testament, we see doxologies at the end of prayers. And again, it's always for something really special that God does. One of the first ones you can pay attention to, the prayer of Manasseh. That entire prayer of Manasseh isn't in most scriptures. It's in some, but not most copies of the Bible that we have. Do they have the entire prayer? But the prayer of Manasseh is mentioned in the scriptures. And the prayer of Manasseh, if you read the prayer itself, the doxology at the end of it, "Therefore, I will praise thee forever all the days of my life. For all the powers of the heavens do praise thee, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen." So man, Manasseh sounds like a really holy guy. Manasseh was a grotesque idolater. You name it, when it comes bad in religion, Manasseh was involved in it. Manasseh is proclaimed to us as one of the most evil kings that ever existed in Judah or Israel. Well, where did that come from? It came because a result of his conversion. It came as a result of the conversion because God's only could take things so far, and all of a sudden the hammer fell on Manasseh. And it worked. Some people it doesn't work. But Manasseh, it did work. And when you see God work in your life, particularly if it's like dramatic, take my word for it. When it's dramatic, you can't help but you just constantly desire to give God praise for what he's done. So this is what doxologies are about. They were in the Old Testament, in the synagogue they used them. St. Paul uses them throughout, constantly throughout his letters. That's the second reading today, is the doxology we find at the end of the letter to the Romans. So he uses them constantly. We use them in Mass. When you talk about doxology, technically speaking, we have two. The Gloria in Excelsis. Glory be to God on high. That is a doxology. Why haven't we heard that during Advent? It's because we look forward during Advent to our Lord Jesus Christ. And not till he comes do the angels and the heavenly hosts come down and proclaim, glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill towards God. It's a doxology for what, and this is what, that's referred to as the major doxology. Because there's nothing more major than God taking on flesh and coming and dwelling among us and dying for our sins. It's huge. Our doxology should be huge. The major doxology. We're more familiar with the shorter doxology. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Notice there's like two-fold part of that doxology, even the shorter. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. That's the praise part of it. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. We add to doxologies, when they're really important, the fact that we realize that God should be praised and is being praised throughout all eternity. In our Mass, you know, when we're celebrating Mass, we say, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven. Why? Because those who have preceded us in faith are proclaiming God's glories in heaven. We do it with them in the communion of the saints. And should the Lord tarry, so you got the past and the present, should the Lord tarry for thousands of years, we people on this earth will continue to offer him doxology for what he does as the Holy Spirit moves in them and sanctifies them. So this is what a doxology is. But we never want to lose sight of the fact, as I said a little alluded to earlier, when we say doxologies, they're for a reason. Manasseh, what was the reason? His conversion. He was actually giving God praise for chastising him. Most of us don't think in those terms. Thank you, God, for putting this on me. It's horrible, but thank you for putting on me because it's got to be for my betterment. We should. He did. Because that's how we are drawn closer to God. How can something bad draw you closer to God? It lets you know that you need him. We're very self-reliant people. We love to be in charge of everything. And God will let you know relatively regularly that you're not in charge of anything. We just have to have eyes to see that and ears to hear. He draws us close to him with the. So these praises that we give him, they are for a particular reason. Let's talk about the major doxology, the glory. Glory be to God on high. Where is that in the Mass? Where is that in the Mass? It's self-conscious. It's thoughtful. There's a method to the madness. We have come before the altar. But before we even approach the altar, we confess that we're not worthy to approach the altar. Then the priest approached the altar and we hear some prayers. And then because we confess our sins and we know that God is merciful and just, and he will forgive us our sins if we come to him in faith. When we do that, he's forgiven us our sins, and we should be overwhelmed with that. Every time you hear the Kyrie, okay, we're done doing all our confessions, we hear the absolution of God, we say a prayer to him, and then we this Gloria. The major doxology. Thank you, God. The Kyrie. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. How should that overwhelm us in thanksgiving that he does that? You know, I'll speak for myself. I know who I am. I know my heart. I know what I do throughout the week. And then I presume to come before his altar and do what I do. I'm really overwhelmed that he will pardon that over and over and over again. That is something to which we should all, like I said, I spoke for myself, but I think we should all do some soul searching and be tremendously grateful about what he's done for us in forgiving us our sins, to be able to approach. Because it's not just what happened before the Gloria, it is what happens after. Because what happens after is, not only does he forgive you your sins, he will actually allow you to take his body, blood, soul, and divinity, if you are properly disposed, into your very being. Should we not give him the major doxology for what we've received in forgiveness and what we're about to receive in the Eucharist? That's why it is where it is. We should be appreciative to God for this. So, there's a reason for the Gloria being where it is. Let's get into St. Paul, the second reading for today. As I said, it's a doxology that is on the end of his letter to the Romans. The letter to the Romans is an interesting thing. It basically covers the base on theology, sociology, both practical and spiritual. It speaks of all these things in the book of Romans, and at the end, Paul gives a specific doxology, giving God the glory for revealing how we're supposed to live, both in relation to him and in relation with one another. I mean, even gets the Romans actually, you get all this theology and everything, and then it tells you how that you got to pay taxes. It talks about how you're supposed to live with the government and all this kind of thing. It covers all the bases. So Paul puts a doxology into it. And at the end of the doxology itself, it's just not a praise, but it really speaks to what are we given thanks for. St. Paul says in the doxology, we're giving God thanks for revealing to us what he refers to in the doxology as the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret from eternity. We really need to be attentive to what Scripture is saying. Think about that for a second. And think about who you are before God and what you know about him. That you know something that has been kept secret for all eternity. What are you talking about there? The entire Old Testament? 2/3 of the Bible? All the prophetic things that were said about the coming of the Messiah? A lot of words. And they're good words. And they all point forward to the coming of the Messiah. But there's no reality there. Everything's conjectural. What is the Messiah going to do? What's he going to be? Because the Jews gravitated to a very, very myopic view of what the Messiah, who he was supposed to be, what he was supposed to do. He's going to be a servant of God that comes down and kicks the Romans out of Jerusalem so we can start worshiping the way we want to do. Get back to the old way of business. That was their view. That's why they didn't accept our Lord Jesus Christ when he came. They had no idea. They had no idea that he was going to be a suffering servant. He wasn't going to show up from heaven on a big white horse with the heavenly armies and beat up the Romans. He was going to come down and be born in a manger to poor parents, to take our flesh. They had no clue. They had this grandiose view of the Messiah, and all of a sudden, what are you dealing with? An infant in a manger. In a manger. It's like, what the heck? That's really kind of a downer. I was expecting the big show. You got the big show. And if you had eyes to see and ears to hear, you did, like the shepherds. We know this. They never did. They didn't know about the incarnation. They thought that the Messiah is just going to be a servant of God. They had no clue that it was going to be God himself that clothed himself with flesh. What we heard in the gospel today, that's all about that. This one born of a virgin, this mysterious thing that God did in coming and dwelling among us. But not just the incarnation, but the scope of redemption. Going to come save your people, Israel. For them, that was an ethnic statement. If you're an ethnic son of Abraham, if you are a Hebrew person, that's who the Messiah is going to come and save. No, even one of their own folks, Caiaphas, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, although he was a very evil man, that lets you a little footnote on that, the Holy Spirit will speak authoritatively through even godless heathens. He said, don't you know that it is expedient for one man to die for the nation? And the scripture goes on, which isn't for the nation, was for the sins of the whole world. So the scope of redemption was beyond their imagination. This is all about us, Jews. And no, it's about the sins of the whole world, if it's accepted. You know it. You know, in the gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ, do you not realize that prophets and kings desired to see what you see and to hear what you hear and you actually get to? That applies to us also. It applies to us. The thanks we should give for that. We know who it was and what he did for us. This is what we should be thankful for. This is doxology. It also shows you how old the gospel is. Oh, the gospel, the New Testament. That's for the New Testament. The gospel was proclaimed in Genesis chapter 3 after the fall of Adam. I will put enmity between your seed and his seed. You will crush his head. He will bruise your heel. That's the gospel. In its seedbed form. That's how old the gospel is. God has always known what he was going to do. A lot of people approach God like, Adam and Eve messed up, so God had to go with plan B. No, he didn't. And we get all through scripture. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, we're saved. It's that old. Before eternity. This is a reality. Should we not be thankful for this? But you look at it, it's just not what God does those are some cool facts to know. Paul just doesn't leave it with, it's been revealed to you. It's been revealed to all nations. But it's been revealed to us by the scriptures of the prophets and in our obedience. Those two things, scripture and obedience to the scriptures. What you know and how you act. This is what we give God because the Holy Spirit works in both. The Holy Spirit has opened your eyes, or pray God he has, opened your eyes to see the truth of his revealed word. Not everybody. There are a lot of people that read the Bible and they're the same people that, the Bible, it's full of contradictions and everything. Why do they believe that? You believe that it's the word of God speaking to you. Why is that? It's called sanctifying grace. It's the Holy Spirit working in you to show you and to draw. And you cooperate with that grace. And you believe and you delve into the scriptures more. And you understand them more. And the sanctifying grace continues to well up within you. And you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This practicality. And after you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and his revelation to you, you cannot help but to be obedient to it. This is what has been manifest to us. But if you notice in the doxology, it says it's been manifest to all nations. You always get the naysayers. What about the little kid, the Aborigine kid? They make up in their own mind this kid that is nameless, that lives in the outback somewhere, that never heard a Bible or anything. Maybe not every individual on the face of the planet, but all nations have been exposed to the gospel. Every Christmas, I always put this, I got to throw this one out because it's just an illustration that has always resonated with me. When I lived in Afghanistan for a year, which is a year of my life I will never get back. However, while I was there, God's always using things like that for actual graces in our life. It dumbfounded me in the Christmas that I was there. It's Afghanistan, right? I mean, you can get in serious, serious trouble, like executed. You go there with the Christianity thing. And you're right, and never a cross, never saw a cross while I was there. But during Christmas time, you walk around, and in some taxis, and in some trucks, and in windows of shops, there would be a little Christmas tree. Where the heck did that come from in Afghanistan? Where the heck does that come from? If you've ever been there or seen pictures, ain't no pine trees around Afghanistan. Well, there are in some places. Not many of them. And they don't use them for Christmas trees. But you would see these things. I mean, like in a lot of places. Why? Because even they know something. There is a special time of this December. They don't use the same calendar we do. But during this time of year, we'll put the little Christmas trees up. They know. They don't accept, but they know. They know the story. They deny the story, but they know it. This is what St. Paul means. It's been made to known to all nations, but you believe it. They got little Christmas trees, but they don't believe. You believe. This is grace. This is what you should be thankful for. Because it's a sign of God's friendship to us that He's opened our eyes to this. That's what friends do. They help each other out. That's kind of a gross understatement, what our Lord does for us. This is the reality of what He said. The Scriptures, His revelation to us, and then how we should respond to it. That Scriptures of the prophets and the obedience of our faith. This is where the rubber meets the road. Our Lord says, greater love hath no man than he give up his life for his friends. A friend does not let a friend do something like that for them and then not reciprocate in some small way and like being obedient to what he says. You know, because he says himself, how can you love me? How can you call me Lord and not keep my commandments? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a matter of us doing something for him, and that's obedience. That's what St. Paul said. That doxology is a call to our obedience. And that doxology is giving thanks for the revelation that God has made through St. Paul through the letter to the Romans in this particular case. So, praying a doxology is not just an exchange of pleasantries. It is something that should be heartfelt and meaningful. Giving God praise, knowing He's being praised for all eternity in heaven for what He has done for His people. This is reality. So when we're confronted with something in this world, because how does the doxology start? This is the tagline of the doxology. To him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. God, if we give him the praise and we know his word and we are obedient to the same, He will give us the strength to persevere through anything in this world. Anything. And it's kind of interesting that this particular week, this particular passage, and look, you don't even like have to search for anything. It's just what the Holy Spirit puts before us. We're giving God thanks for revealing to us what Paul revealed to us through his letter to the Romans. And it's an explicit call to obedience to that word. And it starts it in the first chapter. And it says, and again, kind of keep current events in your mind. It says in the first chapter, it gives a list of heinous sins against God. And it culminates into like the worst sin that you could possibly get. And it says, and those who commit this sin are worthy of death, but so are those who in any way support it. They too are worthy of death. Wow. That's kind of up in your face, isn't it? Now, I've had, over the past few days, a whole, you can imagine, my texts and my emails, just basically, my computers and my tablets were hot. Because it was just constant this, that, and that. We cannot help this. And actually, St. John Chrysostom says this. St. John Chrysostom says that Paul writes this, the letter to the Romans, and particularly this doxology, to people who are wavering. Well, I'm not wavering. Well, that's not what I saw this week. And what I mean by wavering, I don't mean turning your back on your faith, but basically blindsided by something that happened. How could this happen? How could this ever happen? I got kind of tired of articulating how it could happen. And I actually, some person sent me something. And said, how could this happen? And I just sent them this 4-second long video. Remember the E-Trade baby? The E-Trade baby on the, you know, the little kid that would talk. Let me show you my shocked face. Whoa! It shouldn't be shocking. It shouldn't be shocking. This is the reality. This is the times in which we live. We've been living this stuff for 60 years now. I would say it ain't no big deal. It shouldn't blindside you. You need to say this. You need to say, I don't need to say anything. I don't need to say anything because you hang around here for more than a couple weeks. You kind of know that we believe what God says. That's how we set things up. Well, if you know the Word of God, Here we give in a doxology. Right before the doxology, St. Paul says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, to mark them who make dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not Christ our Lord, but their own belly, and by pleasing speeches and good words, they seduce the hearts of the innocent. Your obedience is published in every place. I rejoice therefore in you, but I would have you wise and good and simple and evil. Wise and good. Know the scriptures of the prophets. Know them, adhere to them, be obedient to them, and there will be no problems, eternally anyway. This is our faith in this life. In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. This is what I mean, we cannot waver. You know, the enemy who is more subtle than any beast in the field, one of the things he loves to do is distract us from where our eyes should be. There's a lot of people this particular week that are distracted in considering what was said here and what some are doing and everything like that. At the end of the day, particularly this very day, our eyes should be focused on that gospel message about our Lord Jesus Christ coming, that Son of Righteousness who has pierced the darkness of this world. It doesn't mean darkness is going to go away. It just means that we just need to keep our eyes on that light. We need to focus on Him. That's where our attention should be. Are the other things distractions? Yes, they are. We can't let them distract us too much. As St. Paul says, we need to have our eyes on things in heaven and not on things below. No matter what's going on in this world, it's here below. It can be bothersome. It can be annoying as all get out. It can actually be sickening at sometimes. But at the end of the day, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And He will give us the strength to stand through these kind of times. He wins in the end. That's what I don't like. I don't like this whole vibe that I got a couple times. Not from everybody, even people are lamenting. There are a couple people. I always got this vibe like, oh, look, Satan's won. No, ever, not a thing. Ain't ever gonna happen. So, we just stay obedient. It doesn't matter what someone tells you, you should do or might do or anything like that. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And as long as I got breath in my lungs and I'm doing what I'm doing right now, there is no influence of anything bad that's going to ever be in His place, aside from the occasional getting a church burned down and stuff like that. Yeah. Then, you know, there's little things. The little thing you guys got to roll with every night. We're strengthened to do this. This is what this doxology says. To Him who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel. Know the gospel. And it is really kind of simple. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and He died for the sins of the whole world. Unfortunately, it's only going to be applied to few because they're going to reject it. And our free will is sacred to Him. This is just a reality of who we are. So we got to make the right decisions. But, you know, like I said, if you know the Word of God, go home and read Romans chapter 16 and read those words that it says about you hear anything that's contrary to what you've been taught. You don't listen to it, no matter how nice the words might be, because they're just there to deceive people who don't know any better. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.